Amen. We've got actually quite a few prayer requests that I'll ask Brother Terry Horn, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these. Sister Laura Krause would like for us to remember her sister, Brenda McClinka, I believe is how you say that last name, in prayer. She's in the hospital, very serious, praying for the Lord to touch her. And also a Sister Ruth Ballish, she asked us to pray for Michaela, my daughter, and Matthew, her husband, Eliana, their granddaughter, that God will give them work so they can move south. Also pray for Sister Victoria Thomas, many physical needs. And Brother Orvis, actually Brother Orville Reese, asked us to pray for his neighbor, Rick Hubbard. He wants God to heal him of sugar diabetes. Sister Brenda Harmon turns in a request for Jaden here in the service tonight, but she's not feeling well, so let's remember her. Also the family is requesting prayer for Mike Lunsford, for complete recovery. Said he had to have 4 stents put in today. Want to thank the Lord for watching over him. So let's certainly remember Brother Mike Lunsford. Sister Barbara Gravely would like for us to remember, I think it's her doctor's sister that has cancer. Been so good to Bert and Barbara and the family. And I just want to lift him up. They've been talking to him about God performing miracles. And they're asking us to help them believe God for that man and his sister. The Baker family would like to praise the Lord for all the times He's moved for us through this year. And also, let's remember Brother Greg Robbins not feeling well. Also pray for Jean High, that's Sister Shirley's sister. Had emergency surgery this morning to remove part of her colon, which had ruptured. Also had to have an ovary removed, so let's pray for her. God will help her with that recovery. And Brother Gary and Sister Lona turning in a prayer request for their daughter Kayla. She's had 3 bad seizures today. None of the neurologists that she has been to so far done any tests to determine the cause, so they're just asking that the Lord would move on that behalf tonight. If you could stand as Brother Terry comes and just takes these knees to the Lord tonight.
Aren't you so glad we get to go to church tonight? You really believe that? You really mean that? The highlight of our week. One day, perhaps we won't say we get to go to church tonight, but we get to go to heaven tonight. It's getting just that close. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Lord Jesus, truly from my heart, I think there's people standing here that really, really believe that and really hold on to that. And from their heart, they really, truly love to come to church, come to the house of God. Lord, we're so thankful that we have this opportunity yet. We know that it's quickly going to vanish from us. We know that we see the handwriting on the wall. But, Lord, we're not down. We're not despondent nor depressed, but we're enlightened. We're happy. We know that we have an escape out of here. We know these things have to happen. And, Lord, we rejoice because we know that we've been found worthy and counted. And you granted to us, you chose us, Lord, to be part of the economy of God. We're so happy about it. Lord, I just had something on my mind. It's just been for a couple of weeks now that, thinking about when Jesus was talking to the disciples and you said there'd be some standing here that won't taste of death until you see the Jesus coming in and the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. And about 6 days later you took Him up on the Mount Transfiguration, and we know the story there. After a short time you was transfigured before Him, and that was a prefigure of your coming. And Lord, but I believe there's some standing here tonight that won't taste of death until you actually do come in your kingdom to receive your bride. We're just that close. And how thankful, Lord, that we are to be a people that can be prepared because you sent us a messenger to get prepared. We pray for these requests, Lord. I pray for Brother Mike that's been spoken tonight. The condition that he had, 4 stents, I believe he said. Thank you that you brought him through. Continue to be with him. Give him a complete recovery. And each one of these I hold in my hand, I pray that you'll just grant, Lord, the desired result according to your divine will. You're still the healer. You're still the way maker. Lord, there's faith in Bill, and somebody's going to believe in behalf of each one of these. And I pray, Lord, tonight as you anoint our brother Donnie to speak the word of God, Lord, let's let it be spiritual food in due season. Lord, if we know that the message of the hour, it certainly is the present day truth, and we're happy to be under the umbrella of a present day word. We're so thankful. Lord, we're just so many things we could be thankful for. Just our daily lives, a house to live in, a place to go to church, our work, our food, our electricity, all that we have, we're thankful. But most of all, that you chose us to be your wife. I love you with all of my heart. Bless these people. Heal everyone. Bring to pass the desired result in each one of these requests. Lord, perhaps there's got people, if they would raise their hands, say, I've got a loved one that's outside of the ark of safety. Brood over that individual that they might be saved, at least saved. If they're bride, we know at some point they will come in. All that the Father has given me will come to me. But Lord, brood over them, they can at least be saved and have a place in heaven somewhere. Grant it, Lord. Bless the service tonight. We ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, makes me wanna shout.
Would like to come tonight. Somebody ought to testify. Do you remember what key we did that in? It was G. Has anybody got anything they'd like to testify about tonight? We'll do it as a group. You don't have to get up here by yourself. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Sing that first verse, please.
There have been times in my life. despair. I fell down on my knees and I called on God in prayer. I thanked Him for His blessings. I named them one by one. But most of all, I thank You, Lord, for all that You've done.
Somebody ought to taste it alive.
Tonight, we got plenty to testify about, don't we? So thankful for that. Sister Lindsay Gilry and Caitlin Andrews have a song for us tonight. If they'd like to come, be getting ready to sing. Let's just sing that "Be Multiplied" while they're coming, getting ready. The key is F. Be multiplied.
Oh God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to Your design. May this offering to cross the sky, these hallelujahs, be multiplied.
One more time.
God of mercy, help me sing it. Sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to Your design. May this offering cross the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied.
Victory in my my Savior's loss, and in the crimson flowing from the cross, pour over me.
Even see.
songs tonight. We sure appreciate that. Let's stand tonight. Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring the word to us tonight. Let's sing Day Star. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you'll open the door. Let's approach the word that way tonight. Anything that he has for us, that's what we want tonight. We're here to accept and to receive. Where's that?
Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you'll open up the door. Let your word speak through me. Show me what I've never seen before. Lord, I want wrong and make it right, all right. Day star shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Of course, again, lead me, Lord, I'll follow.
Together. Truly, Heavenly Father, it is such an honor that the King of the universe would be able to take your glorious gospel light and shine in and through our lives. We count it such an honor and a privilege not only to be Christians, but to be born of the light of God of this day. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we were, as it were, stars, planets, illuminated in the spiritual universe of the Almighty. We thank you, Lord, that when the light bringer was cast down, when he fell, and his tail drew a third part of those stars, our representation was not to fall, but to stay with the original word. We thank you, Lord. We are way outnumbered. Oh, as time goes on, we see how much we are outnumbered. But we thank you, Father, that we were chosen with you in the Logos to stand for this truth before the foundation of the world. This is what gives us our strength, our stability. It's not in ourselves, Lord. It's not in our own will or in even our own desire, but it's in your desire. And for that, we thank you. We pray that you'd take your word tonight, Lord, once again and speak to us. We're a needy people, but we've come to bring all of our needs, our desires, our petitions, and lay them right before your throne and know that you will answer them according to your will, for that's what we want. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm as happy to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Romans chapter 9, verse 10. Let's look again tonight at election. I trust you're enjoying this.
Amen.
If you claim you got the Holy Ghost and don't enjoy election, I'd check my ghost. Because you probably ain't holy. I don't say you ain't got a ghost, but the Holy Ghost loves election. It's wonderful. Romans chapter 9, verse 10. Not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Let's look at the meaning of the word election again. Chosen, the act of picking out, choosing. Used of the act of God's free will. Now look at where I'm getting the meaning of this word, the Greek lexicon, which is the Strong's number 1589. Now listen to what it goes on to say. The act of God's free will by which before the foundation of the world he decreed his blessings to certain persons. The decree made from choice by which he determined to bless certain persons through Christ by grace. Yes, amen. And the saint said, amen. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. May the Lord bless his word and us together. Amen. You can be seated. Let's read just a paragraph or two here from the Smyrnian Church Age, where we started last Sunday. But we got out there in the universe and got to spinning around in the daylight and cosmic light and the molecules and the atoms. And I didn't think my feet was ever going to get back on the ground. Page 149 of the Smyrnian Church Age. Jesus Christ is choosing his own bride. Just the same as men choose their brides today. The bride today does not simply decide she's going to take a certain man for a husband. No, sir, it is the groom who decides and chooses a certain woman for his bride. And now this is the mentality that many people of the church feel like, that they look at God. It's them choosing Jesus to be their bridegroom, which is exact opposite. But for a dominating Laodicea church, how can you keep them from thinking any other thing? But the bride, of course, doesn't look at it that way. She looks at it from God's thinking. It is the groom who decides and chooses a certain woman for his bride. St. John 15:16, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And the saint said, aren't you glad for that? Now, according to the word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. This choosing of the bride was purposed in himself, Ephesians 1:9, and in Romans 9:11, it says that the purpose of God according to election might stand. You can't read it any other way. The heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God, was to take a bride of his own choosing. And that purpose was in himself. Now, it's not in me, it's not in you, it wasn't in angels, it was in himself. Now, if we are the elect of God, he must put something in us that will respond to that purpose. Amen. The heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God, was to take a bride of his own choosing, and that purpose was in himself. And being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. Down through the centuries we could go. We find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist. Each one of these were God's eternal thought expressed in its season. Now wait a minute, I thought the seed was what come predestinated. I don't think there's any names associated with it. You thought wrong. You see, God is the one who's doing this thinking, not you and I. Now watch, we find a Moses. This is a person, is it not?
a Jeremiah, another person, a John the Baptist, another person. Each one of these were God's eternal thought expressed in its season. Now watch how he culminates it all now in the Logos. Then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed, and he became known as the Word. That is what he is and will and forever will be. Now, but the Logos, when he appears 2,000 years ago, this isn't the first appearance of the Logos. So if he is reappearing again, it must be to decree a further mandate of God, of what God had in the original determination before the foundation of the world. Now, when he comes, he does not come as part of the Godhead. He is not a son which is beneath a father and somehow crammed in between the Father and the Holy Ghost. But it is the Logos, which is the complete and perfect thought of God. Now, before we go any farther on this choosing of the bride in the eternal, let us look at the Logos a little bit more and see what the Logos actually was and see what it actually is. And let's see if somehow we might be able, by the grace of God, to find out if we are truly identified in the Logos or if we are identified simply in the church by choice. Now, if we can find our identity in the Logos, then there is absolutely nothing that will ever pull us away from the sovereignty of God's love. Now, if we are anchored only in the church and church membership and church association and church affiliation and our faithfulness and on and on and on and on, I'll tell you one thing, friends, I'd be pretty tore up tonight. Now, watch this. Who is God? This is 1950. Now, listen to this. 1950. Can you imagine what these people, as I go to reading this to you, think of what would have been preached in 1950 and how odd and peculiar and different this man must have been, William Branham, in the things that he was saying all those years ago. Now, there was great space when no one can fathom in their mind beyond that. That space, eternity, that's Jehovah God out there. We're taught in the beginning that the Logos, or the Son of God, went out of God. Now listen, we believe that the Son of God came out of God, but we do not believe in an eternal Son. I believe in the Son of God, not God the Son. Listen now. I believe in the Son of God. I used to believe in God the Son when I was a Trinitarian. I believed in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Any way you count that, you got three gods. But once you understand there is a difference in the sonship, and it is not so much as the Trinitarians phrase it. Now, I can call it God the Son with the understanding that it was the Son of God. But you see, some people term it God the Son, but their understanding is there's three personalities in the Godhead. Now, in this, the Eternal is giving birth to a Son, and he's going to call it Logos, or Son of God. Now, we're taught in the beginning that the Logos, or the Son of God, went out of God. Now, I do not believe in eternal sonship, he said. That's even radical to even mention such a thing. Eternal sonship. He had eternal sonship. Well, he said, it's even eternal sonship. How could he be a son? He had to have a beginning. Now, let's see something out of space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light, like a mystic light, like a halo. And that was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God that came out of the bosom bosom of the Father. That was what was in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, notice now we're not looking at God being an old man, a being up there with hands and eyes and hair and feet and fingers and toes and all that in the sense of the way we think of a being. But it is a being that is eternal. There is no substance. There's no atoms. There's no time. There's no molecules. And there is no three gods in the Godhead. Now watch the way it goes on to express it. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, paragraph 17. In there, now see, this is just like a child playing before the door. It was the Son of God, the Logos. And I can see him out there as he spake and said, let there be light, and there was nothing. But something happened, and an atom turned there and began to whirl around this way, and the sun began to come into existence because he said, let there be. There's the authority. Where did he make it from? I don't know. There was nothing to make it from. Listen to this. But he believed his own word. Now, in the eternal was no being in the sense of one that was of substance and form. But in the beginning, God gave birth to a son. Now, the son then was not, here's this older man with long hair, you know, and however you picture God as far as in a natural semblance of a man. And then all of a sudden, here's another little boy, a younger guy in his 30s maybe, and he's sitting there. No, it wasn't like that at all. There was absolutely nothing. It was a vastness of eternity with no molecules or time or science or light or anything at all. And yet God gave birth to a son. So what does this son look like? This son is a resemblance of a halo or a pillar of fire. Now this is the first form of the Son of God. If you study it real close, you find that Brother Branham said he appears in three different images in that it would become from invisible to tangible, in a sense where humans could be able to relate to it. Now he said he believed his own word and there was light. And I can see a piece fly off of that. It's a meteor. After a few million years, or a hundred billions of years, if you want to call it, it circled way out. I can see him standing there watching it, and it falls down in there, and he stops it after it falls a few million years. Well, if you're eternal, what difference does millions make, or billions, or trillions? What difference does all that make? It don't make no difference at all if you're eternal. Now, what's what he's doing is giving us something to where our human minds would be able to comprehend it in the form of substance. Now, we know that we believe in a supernatural realm, and most of us have been affected by it all of our entire life, and most of us have seen very little of it. We felt an influence by it, and you'll notice whenever folks get ready to die, saints, how that their eyes will begin to gloss over. And I've seen it many, many times as I stand by the bedside of a child of God. And you see that their life is going out and they're changing the respiration, the blood pressure. And you'll see this change come over their eyes. And their eyes look totally different. And they're viewing it a different way. And you can see, and then you wonder, what do they see? And they'll begin to see this one or that one or the other one that's been gone for years and years. Now, they're losing this sight of mortality, but actually, as they're nearing the crossing over of that realm, they're being enabled by supernatural sight to see what was there their whole entire lifetime. But they could not see it, but now that they're fixing to be burst over into the theophany, that supernatural realm is becoming more visible. Now, this is how Brother Branham brings this now. He said, I see him standing there watching, and it falls down, and he stops it after it falls a few million years and let it hang there in orbit. Here goes another one flying off the sun. Over it goes and hangs there, and he stops it. What's he doing? Writing his first Bible. Now here we're breaking in, of course, into Genesis 1. This is where Genesis 1 takes up. But before the beginning was, of course, the eternal. Now the eternal is not in the sense of the way that you and I would think in our mind that a just an old ancient guy that's been sitting up there, and you know, he's all by himself up there in the throne of God, just kind of hanging out, as we'd say. Nobody there, nothing to do, nowhere to go. I mean, you can't do nothing, you can't go nowhere. But that's our carnal minds trying to understand an eternal being. It was not like that at all. There was no throne, there was no angels, there was no light, there was no light meters, there was no atoms, there was absolutely nothing at all. Now when Brother Rand picks it up, it's when it comes into the stage of visibility. It's when the invisible has appeared in the form of substance. But he doesn't look exactly like a man. But his first being is white light, supernatural halo. And then he comes, condescends on down, and he comes into the form of a theophany. Now what's this? What's he doing? He's writing his first Bible. Notice the human beings once look toward the heavens, and he puts all the stars in the heavens, the zodiac, starting off with the Virgin, ending up with Leo the Lion, the first coming of Christ, the second coming, came by the Virgin, also come by the Lion with the tribe of Judah. There he puts his first Bible. Now what is writing the Bible? It is the Logos. Now it's not a little boy, it's not a young guy 30 years old that's tossing out stars, but it is the Logos. So God is creating by the Logos. And the church said, I can see that light moving over here, and it pulled the earth over near the sun to dry it off. And he began to raise the water up, separating the land, the earth from the water, and so forth. Then he began to create, and he made the fishes of the sea, the vegetable life, put the cattle on the hill, and it all looked good to him. Then he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Is that right? Now he said, all right, so he made a man, and God was spirit. So he had to make a spirit man made in his image. Now listen. So if this man was made in the image of God and he was a spirit man, then what was he? Now he's making the elect. Glory. He put him on the earth to lead animal life and so forth, like the Holy Spirit should be leading the church today. Now watch him as he goes a little different angle in the cruelty of sin. He said, let us plural make man plural in our image. Let us make man in our image. So then God made his first man. He was a spirit man. He was something on the order of God, or the Son of God, the Logos. So when God made man, let us, which is Father and Son. Now I know this, some of you Jesus onlys, your blood pressure is going to go plumb through the roof. This is not two separate beings. It is the invisible speaking to the visible. Let us make man in our image. One. Amen. Let us make man in our image. Man what? Not one man, Adam, but let us make man plural. What is he talking to? The offspring of the Logos. Oh, glory. Now, if he's going to create and bring man into view, if he's going to bring him into his own image, what kind of image would the man have been in? We would have to look at the image of God and see in order to be able to understand what would man be like. What was that original man? Now we know the original man could have never fallen. Absolutely, totally impossible. He did not fall when he was in the image of God. It was when he was put into the lower creation in the image of beasts that he fell. Well, praise God. It's the same with you and I today. Why do we mess up? Why do we make mistakes? Why do we fall short of the glory of God? It's because of the image of the beast that the image of God is still hiding in behind. We are in a prison. Can you all say amen to that? We are held captive, but what is held captive? The image of God is held captive by the image of the beast. And that's why you cannot trust this flesh, because it is not the image of God, it is the image of beast. Amen. Now watch. Let us make man in our own image. So he was something on the order of God, or the Son of God, the Logos. That was the first man. So the first man, not just Adam now, but the first man was made in the image of God on the order of the Logos. So what was the Logos? So the Logos is the first visible, tangible part of the Godhead, we which can be seen. It is not still, it's not a man, it's not a young man 30 years old, but it is the outgoing of God's own creation. This is the beginning of the creation of God. So out of the Logos, now coming out of the eternal comes the Logos. So let's begin it like this. In the lower forms of creation, it would start out as a little white light that was milling around, playing around the Father's door, as it were. But now it keeps going until that image pours into a theophany. Then in that theophany, he would appear and reappear. Now the unveiling or the unfolding of man himself comes exactly in the same way, that we were first a spirit being. Oh, you don't remember it, neither do I, but we were right there when God said, let us make man. He was talking about me and you. He wasn't just talking about Adam. Amen. Let us make man in our image and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and so on. And the church said,
amen.
And the church said,
amen.
And the church said,
amen.
Good. Praise the Lord. Now say it without me saying it to you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now watch. He said when he made everything, it looked nice and good. And he said, let us plural make man plural in our image. What was he? There he is, a supernatural being. That's the one that could not be seen, God the Father. Never was seen, never will be seen. He's all nature. There he is. Now here's the Son, which is the Logos, that went out of him, made in his image, a supernatural being that went out in the beginning. Now if the Logos would have had the exact same image or expression as the eternal, you wouldn't have been able to see the Logos either. So the Logos condescends and it comes into a form that can be seen by the eye, the spiritual eye. Now we know the pillar of fire can be right here in this building here tonight, and God could quicken certain eyes to see it. Some could see it and some couldn't. Or if he wanted to, he could make the pillar of fire in a tangible form as it was in the book of Exodus, where that a natural, unregenerate people could look, and they could just look right up into the sky and they'd see it there turning around. If God wanted to do it that way, because it has the ability as the Logos to appear and disappear. Or it can become into a tangible physical realm where unregenerate people can see it. Or it could be here tonight and one person out of this entire place here tonight could see it. Now I hope you understand this. For those of you who had the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've got that pillar of fire, a part of it in you tonight. Now more than likely you've never seen that which is in you, but you have come from that pillar of fire and you're born and the image of God has been recreated in you by the Logos which you're a part of. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice now. Now notice what he does. In the supernatural being, no one has ever seen God and never will. Now he said, now here's the Son, which is the Logos that went out of him, made in his image, a supernatural being that went out in the beginning. Now this is in the beginning. This is before Genesis 1. This is in the beginning when the Word is becoming towards flesh. So God now begins the creation and it starts with himself. And God cannot be creation only in Christ. God cannot die only in Christ. God cannot feel pain only in Christ. God cannot become tangible only in Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch this question answers on Genesis. Adam, the first man in the lower creations of God. The first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Out of the Logos came forth, Lord children, the man. Out of the Logos came forth the man, not just one. Don't you see why the elect, there is no way for them to perish. There is no way for them to be lost. They come out of the Logos when the Logos came out of God. And then man, what did the Logos do? He gave birth to his children. Before there was ever a world, there wasn't a last sign there wasn't a moon or a star. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Out of the Logos came forth the man. So the man's body comes from the dust of the earth. But where does the man come from? As the Logos came from the invisible Elohim. It's like he just, fastness of eternity. And there was nothing there. And all of a sudden something appeared. What was it? The Logos. Then the Logos was in this form for maybe millions or billions of years. But then when he said, let us make man in our image. Out of the Logos come millions or tens of millions or billions or how many ever it is of his children. Glory to God. Don't you see why your soul has no problem in believing this word? You was a part of this before this was this. You was a part of this before it was ever written down. You were part of his word before there was ever any devil. Glory. Hallelujah. You came out of that Logos. Notice this again. Questions and answers on Genesis. If you haven't heard this one in a while, I'll tell you, it is a powerful, powerful sermon. Let's go back 100 million years before there was ever a star, moon, or anything in the world. Now, that was a time when there wasn't nothing here. It's just all forever and eternity. And all of ever and eternity was God. He was there in the beginning. Now let's go out on the edge of this banister and look over and see things happen. Now no man seen the Father at any time. No man can see God in the bodily form because God is not in body form. God is a spirit. See, all right, no man has seen the Father, but the only begotten of the Father declared him. Now, but notice, there's nothing. There's just space. There's no light. There's no dark. There's no nothing. It just seems nothing. But there is a great supernatural being, Jehovah God, who covered all space of all places at all times. There ain't nothing there. Nothing. No substance, no form. There's nothing there but this. Brother Donnie, how in the world can you believe in such a being? How can I not? It's much easier for me to believe this and I believe some blob pulled up out of the ocean somewhere. And it kept changing and changing and changing, got higher and higher and higher. To me, that takes a whole lot more faith than believing this. Praise the Lord. I've made a blobby mess out of my life many a time, but I didn't come from a blob. I come from eternal. Amen. Oh my, notice this. He was from everlasting, He's the beginning of creation. That's God. Can't see nothing, can't hear nothing. Not a move of an atom in the air. No, nothing, nothing. But yet God was there. That was God. Now let's watch for a few minutes and after a while. No man has seen that now. That's the Father. That's God. The Father. That's God the Father. That's still God the Father tonight. God the Father is not an old man. He's not a man. Glory. I said glory. Do you realize in the eighth day it will be the Father hanging over the Son? What will the Father be? That great whirling light. God will not be a man even in eternity. Why? Never was. But he gave birth to a Joseph. He gave birth to a son that will be able to sit upon the throne. Oh, hallelujah! And that is the very image of everything that God is. Oh, Lord Jesus. Notice he, that's God. He can't see nothing, can't hear nothing, yet that's God. And he said, no man has seen that. Now that's the Father, that's God the Father. Now notice then, after a while, I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form. Like a little halo or something. You could only see it by spiritual eyes to look now. While we're looking, the whole church, we're standing on a great big banister. Watching what God's doing. Y'all want to go?
Yeah.
A great big banister watching what God's doing. And we'll get right down to this question. Now they've asked him, what relation does the man in Genesis 1 have to do with the man in Genesis 2? Now he says, no one has seen God. The next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little white light forming out there. So all of a sudden out of the darkness, well it's dark, but yet it's not dark. And there's something that's coming into existence, and yet there's nothing to come into existence from. There's no light meters, there's no atoms, there's no substance, there's nothing tangible. But all of a sudden, something begins to appear. Now he says, I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form like a little halo. Oh my. A little halo. We're standing on the great big banister. You know what a banister is? We're standing up like this. We're standing up on the banister. And we're just standing here now watching as God's declaring to us what he could not say through the lips of Moses. Moses said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. But God wanted to let you know one more before the beginning. You're a blessed people. Oh, hallelujah. What is it? That was called by Bible readers Logos, or the anointed, or the anointing. I was going to say the part of God that began to develop. The part of God that began to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea of what it was. It was a little light moving. That was the Word of God. Now God gave himself birth to this son, which before there was ever an Adam or heir to make an Adam. So God gives birth to this son. And here's this little white sacred light. You see, Jesus said, glorify thou me, Father, with the glory that I have of thee before the foundation of the world. See, way back in yonder. Now in St. John 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God unfolding himself down to a human being. Now watch how he did it. Now back there then, this little halo. Now we can't see nothing yet. But just by eyes of the supernatural, we see a halo standing there. That's the Son of God. So the beginning of the family of God is Logos. Little lights. Go on. So the beginning of the family of God is God in the form of Logos, called a son. Now I can see him playing around like a little child before the Father's door with all eternity. Now remember, there's no earth yet. There's no angels. There's no beings. God's just now give birth to this son. This is the first of many. Now if Jesus being the Son of God was the Logos, could somebody please tell me what kind of wife he'll have to have? You're afraid to say it now, but I'll make you say it in a few minutes. Could he marry a bear? What about a she-wolf? A goat? There's only one thing that would be fit for the king. Logos must marry Logos. Word must marry Word. Amen. Don't you see, friend, whenever we're looking at this, even when Brother Brandon puts it in this term, it's all in the realm of unseen, supernatural, invisible. But he only coins these terms in a sense would give us some way that our poor little feeble minds would be able to grasp it. And what did you think when I was talking about the eternity and no atoms and no light and no molecules and nothing? You have a hard time relating, don't you? But when I say little white light, automatically as human beings we can relate to that easier than we can a total void of darkness. That's why he did it. The prophet said it was so great. If he had not condescended, it would have even caused the elect to stumble. Follow with me now. Glory to God. I can see him playing around like a child before the Father's door with all eternity. Now in imaginary makeup, he began to think of what things would be. And I can hear him say, let there be light. And when he did, an atom bursted. And the sun came into existence. She whirled for hundreds of millions of years, forming clinkers and burning and forming like it is today, still burning, still breaking atoms. The universe is still expanding. Why? I have no idea. What's the purpose of it? I have no clue. Is there life on any other planets, Brother Donnie? I do not know. But if there is, we're the one who gets the king. We're the one who gets the city. He ain't living here for a while and somewhere else for a while and somewhere else for a while. This right here is the place of his choice. Amen. All the rest of them have a purpose. Oh, yes, they do. But this is the one who called by name. I'm sure you noticed it there Sunday. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he put the constellations and the universe and the millions and millions of stars all in one category and called them the heavens. But what did he do? He called this planet here by name. Hallelujah. He put all the rest of them in one category and called them the heavens, but he called the earth by name. He may move upon the church and said, whosoever will, let him come. But he ain't calling you like a herd of cattle. He's calling you by name. You are an individual. You have personal identification in the presence of God. And then God, even before there was a star, knew that this world would be, and he knew that I'd be William Branham preaching the gospel from the pulpit, and you'd be John Doe sitting there listening to it before the world ever began. Hallelujah. Now this is the spirit these quotes are brought in. When Brother Branham quoted this, he said, hallelujah. If I quoted it, it makes you mad, shows me you're not under the same spirit he was when he brought it. Oh, my. Notice this. Now, word people sometimes in the legalistic, Calvinistic get all mixed up. They say, well, why is some ordained to be lost? God's not willing that any should perish, he said. He don't want no one to perish. But yet, being God, he knows it's some that won't accept it. See, he had to know the end from the beginning in order to be God, didn't he? So he knew he was going to have some women. Listen, sisters. Going to have some women. So he made up their spirit right there. Their spirit was made up right there. The Bible said he would in Genesis 1:26, you created him in male and man in prefigure, male and female in a prefigure. He made the woman and the man before they was ever formed out of the dust of the earth. Male and female, he created us. Amen. Well, if he created us in Christ and he is the male, We are the counterpart to female, the wife. Male and female created he them and called their name Jesus or Logos. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my. Notice this. And God made the man not in his own image. This body is not in the image of God. This body is in the image of beast. Look, friends, take the Holy Ghost off of any of us and we're lower than animals. Hogs don't commit adultery. Hogs don't commit fornication. You don't find no hogs and squirrels and dogs and pornography and homosexuality and all that sort of thing. It's man without the Spirit of God on him. Come on, why? He's made lower than a beast whenever the Spirit of God is off of him. But when the Holy Ghost is in him, it brings this beast subject to the Word. Thank you, Lord. Notice God knew in the beginning that he was going to have men and women. And he knew the Savior would be here. He'd have to bring Jesus and have to be crucified. Jesus told his disciples when he was on the earth. He knew them before the foundation of the world. Before the world ever come into existence. But no wonder we come out of that Logos. Before the world. I'm older than the world. You're older than the universe. Think of it, Brother Day. A part of us was before this world. You're before the devil. You're before fallen angels. Notice this. He says, before there was a foundation of the world, God knew Ormond Neville and knew that he'd preach this gospel. Isn't that wonderful? I ask you, isn't that wonderful? Why? He's a member of the church and God knew he was going to have that church. And he said, Paul was speaking of the church of Ephesus and said, he's chosen us in him. Now all the members of the body of Christ, is that right? And God, before the world was ever formed, chose you and I in him before the world was ever formed. Whew, my, isn't that wonderful? Now help me understand something here. If y'all think this is wonderful, why y'all sitting there looking at me like you don't even care? If this is wonderful, there ought to be a wonderful reaction. My, may Brother Adam go, my, that's wonderful. We ought to, if we can't, at least we ought to at least sizzle or something. Now the first man now. He made the first man in his image and we're returning back to that image. That's right, to our first created image. Do you understand? The new birth starts your soul and cycle back to that image. You're only one thing left to be done yet. Glory. Just this is all. When God created me, William Branham, I was before the foundation of the world. Scoot over, Brother Branham. When God created me, Donnie Reagan, I was before the foundation of the world. Anybody want to scoot me over and put your name in there? Amen. Amen. I was before the foundation of the world. He made my being, my spirit. Listen now. I wasn't conscious of anything as far as I know of. But I was there. Oh, I don't believe you're getting it. But not just for a minute. Jesus told the disciples he knew them before the foundation of the world. And Paul said he chose us in him before the world began. Now there was some part of me, Ormond Neville, and the rest of you all here that's in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. What part? Logos. 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 So God gives birth to a son. And out of the son comes brothers. For those whom he did foreknow, he did previously mark out copies of the likeness of the Son of himself. Who was the invisible image? Oh, the visible image of the invisible God. The facts of God. That's what the meaning of the word is there in Hebrews. The facts of God. Jesus was the facts of God. What's he coming to get? The rest of you faxes. Load up. Let's go. I said load up and let's go. Amen. Oh my. Notice this. Oh, now you're some part of you. Arm and Neville was in Christ Jesus before the world began. I think the people today that are possessed with this spirit or the spirit are part of these angelic beings, spirits, which rotated off of God. Rotated off of God. Rotated off of God. Don't you see what was happening in the upper room? Their part of the Logos was rotating off of the pillar of fire. They were rotating off of God. Part of you, Brother Tim, rotated off of God, the Logos, in the beginning. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Spirits which rotated off of God that never failed in the beginning and resisted the devil's lie in heaven. So lie, devil, lie. You ain't going to get us. Amen. Our representation has already resisted the devil's lie in the beginning. I'll resist it now. Luther resisted it. Wesley resisted it. Paul resisted it. Why? We rotated off of God. Oh, my. Notice many times, how about dad or mother? When they're dying and they saw their loved one standing there, they recognized them in the supernatural body. But here's the glorious part. On the return of Jesus at the resurrection, it won't be that body. That body then, that supernatural being that God created in the beginning, will return to the earth to get another body, not born by woman, but created by God. What is it? Your theophany. Ever look up the meaning of the word theophany? Look at the first four letters there. Five. Let's take the first five. T-H-E-O-S. Theos. Theo. Theo. Theos. God. Theo. God. Theophany. Your God body. What was it? What came out of the Logos? Your theophany. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That will return to the earth to get another body, not born by woman, but created by God. Hallelujah. To never get old or have a wrinkle, never have a gray hair in your head, to be perfect forever. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, that would make you shout on a hot night. That's right. Oh, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. What in the world have we got to worry about? Oh, thank you, Lord. Here's a whole plan how God created me in the beginning. I come down here on the earth taking my place as a gospel preacher. Are you as a man or a woman to salvation when you live the life by the grace of God? Hallelujah. And the same spirit leaves here that was back there at the beginning. I'll go back to the conscience of knowing I've been there. Lord, have mercy. I'll go back to the conscience of knowing I've been there. Lord Jesus, we're not only friends going to get a body, but we'll enter into a consciousness, I've been here before. I've been here before. I've been here before. You won't have that now. No, you won't have that now, but when you're going back, what is it? You're going back into that state of logos. I'll go back to that conscience of knowing I have been here. Hallelujah. Then wait under the altar, blessed forever and rest. And when I'm returning back, I take up my body. Listen, I take up my body. It is very peak of its best before death ever struck it. You mean they're there now? They're there now. No doubt every now and then he lets them come near us. He keeps us from seeing them because most of us would scare us to death. We'd have a running fit, all right, but it wouldn't be under the Holy Ghost. It'd be total fear. But he lets them come real near and keeps them invisible. And they go to send a charge to us when you're down or when you're weak or when you're discouraged. Oh my, when was it that you recognized the word of God was eagle food and you left the other thing? You heard from your theophany. You heard from your theophany in that other realm. Your God body was talking to you. You who? You what? Did you hear it? Did you see it? Did you feel it? What was it talking to you? The Logos, that seed of God. Inside of your soul was being communicated to beyond the river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a woman or man's fixing to die and God will send somebody on the other side of the river and they begin to see them when you're fixing to be born again. Hallelujah. God sends your identity or theophany. Hallelujah. You're fixing to cross over. God seen what the end would be from the beginning. And the Logos come to the earth, which was Christ the Word. Spoken Word of God. A part of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then we come out of Christ, which makes the same life that was in God, in Christ, in you. Lord Jesus, here's the triunity of the Godhead. God, Christ, you. I know that chokes a gizzard out of some of you. Hallelujah. At that day, you'll say, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. I and you and me. Hallelujah to God. Amen. When God gave birth to a son and that son gave birth to more sons, what is it? Deity expressed on the earth in the form of the bride. Come on, children. Don't sit there and let that choke you. You'll say amen to God in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The unfolding of the Godhead down to the bride on the earth. Then we come out of Christ, which makes the same life that was in God, in Christ, in you. Just as sure as God raised this up, we've got to come with the same thing. If the same Spirit's in us, because it's the Spirit of God making us sons and daughters of God. Oh, isn't it marvelous? How many says it's marvelous? Look at this. I'm thirsting for life. And the Logos, which was the Son of God, one out, created by these great fountains of purity. God, as those spirits went out, it had created the Logos. And it was a body. It was in the form of what we are now. Which is called in the clergy way of speaking it, a theophany. So the Logos, let's read this again. that created the Logos. It was in a body. It was in the form of what we are now, which is called in the clergy way of speaking it. Oh, see how funny. In the way we are now. He's talking about the way you are now in another world. You ain't in theophany now, but you are somewhere. You got an identity of a theophany body. For we know if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Already waiting. Oh, glory. Amen. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How could it be eternal, Brother Donnie? Because it came from the eternal one via the Logos and expressed itself in a manner of time. It's a body that doesn't have a spirit in it. It's a body that's waiting for you Christians. Lord have mercy. It's a body that's waiting for you Christians. It's you. Don't you understand whether by death or the resurrection you say, well, hello me. It's you going to you. Therefore, if you have died and entered into the theophany, what happens? You will bring the body, the theophany, to the earth and pick up the glorified body. If you are here, you will take the redeemed body to meet the theophany. As soon as the life leaves this, you go into that body. When this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we already have one waiting, a theophany. The Logos, this great fountain, of spirit, which had no beginning or end. This great spirit began to form in the creation, and the Logos that went out from it was the Son of God. The only visible form that the spirit had. And it was a theophany. A theophany. A theophany. But a theophany don't eat. A theophany don't drink. So when Abraham needed a visit one day, God and two angels came down and just right out of sight. The Logos picked up dust. Whew. And the theophany embodied in this creation of dust. That way it could sit down and eat and drink with Abraham. So how about a sandwich? Said, sure. How about something to drink? Sure, bring it on. Theophany can't drink. Theophany don't eat. So God took on dust. Hallelujah. God took on dust, forerunning his own coming, speaking of the Lord Jesus. Oh my. Hallelujah. Amen. It was a theophany, which means a body, and the body was like a man. Moses saw it pass by the rock, and he looked at it and said, it looked like the hinder part of a man. So Moses sees him in the clutch of the rock, and he removed his hand and said, it looks like the back part of a man. What's a theophany? Looks like a man. But a theophany can't die. A theophany don't eat. A theophany don't sleep. A theophany don't drink. Can you imagine them folks in the sixth dimension and the prophet of God relating to us said, we don't eat here. We don't drink here. But someday we go to back to earth and take up bodies. Amen. There we eat and we drink. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's the same type of body that we receive when we die here. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That was the theophany, which was the Son of God. That Son, that Logos, became flesh because we were put in flesh. And the theophany, the Logos, became flesh here among us. And it was nothing else but the dwelling place for the entire fountain in him. Oh, do you see it? Now the Logos that went out of God, which was the Logos? All this began to form into a body shape. And the body shape was called, in the scholar's teaching, Logos. The Logos that went out of God. In other words, a better word for it, would call it a theophany. A theophany is a human body that's glorified. Not exactly with flesh and blood like it'll be in its glorified stage. But in the form of a human body. Doesn't eat, doesn't drink. But it's a body. A body that's waiting for us as soon as we leave this one. It's older than you. Better than you. It ain't got one day older since it come out of the Logos in the beginning. It ain't got tired. It ain't got weary. Oh, praise God. Let me close. We come from a higher being. In the beginning, we were in the image of God. The veil and the darkness keeps us from knowing it now. But Jesus told his disciples when he was with them before the foundation of the world, we were. You can't know it now, but you was in the beginning. And if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we already have one waiting. Hallelujah. Then we move into this theophany, what we once lived. So we can eat and shake hands. Well, can you imagine humans, I mean, in this state, and you want to eat and shake hands? Oh, my. And we're thinking, I'm tired of eating, I'm tired of shaking hands. But God knows when you find perfection, you'll still be wanting to eat. Hey, man, we'll still be wanting to eat. None of us won't be overweight, underweight. There won't be high blood, low blood, no blood. There won't be nothing there, but we're still going to eat. Oh, you said, Brother Donnie, is that scripture when the Lord Jesus raised from the dead and they thought he was a ghost? He said, have you got any of me, children? Have you got anything to eat? And Jesus ate a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. Hallelujah! In the kingdom of God, we will eat for eternity. We will shake hands for eternity and be with one another for eternity. Lord Jesus, every time you see a man receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's a paradox. How the God of heaven makes himself known in this man, talking through him, working through him, living through him, it's a paradox. And we are in the image of God, and God took his own images and brought himself into the image of his own image that he made. Whoa! Lord, how? Oh my, let me read it again. We're in the image of God, and God took his own images and brought himself into the image of his own image that he made. Then he says, a paradox. You are a paradox. Let's stand together. Let's jump over a few pages here. Seeds Not Air with the Shuck, paragraph 79. Praise be to God. He was God, the Logos, the Word that went out of God. And when he began to brood upon the earth and brought forth marine life, when the Spirit of God, the Logos, the Word, which God said, let there be. And that went the Logos, which is the Word. And the Word, all this was in the Logos, the whole Word of God, the whole Bible for every age. And as the Logos began to breathe upon the earth, there came marine life, building up the bird life onto animal life. And finally there comes something in the representation or look like the thing that was brewing it or brooding over it. God, a man in the image of God. That man fell like seed has to fall. Then God began to brood over that after the fall. He brought up an Enoch. He brought up Elijah, Moses, prophet after prophet, trying to restore the image again. And finally upon the earth there came the genuine image of God himself again, which was God, the Logos, made flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, listen to this. Now that same Logos has a part. He has got a bride. afternoon, Miss Logos. Your Royal Highness. It is an honor to speak the words of my King to you. Great elect lady. I'm not saying that lightly. Do you realize how honored and blessed you are of God? If you are a part of this Logos, that same Logos, he has got a bride, and that same Logos, this word cannot be tempered with, is brooding over the churches today, trying to bring back the word to its full manifestation. That same Logos is here tonight. He's around the world. Praise the Lord. This is why he moves on men of God's hearts. Brother Mike and Brother Doug Baker just come back from Myanmar and Burma, and certain message preacher in a group. I won't say much about it so the devil don't know about it. He's fixing to head into Cuba. Moves heading into Japan, into Korea. Why? The Logos is looking for his wife. Praise God. Look, children, if you don't want to go, I'm going without you. I love my daughters, I love my son-in-laws and my granddaughters, but if my family don't go, I'm going without them. If they get cold, lose out on God, backslide, church don't mean nothing to them, that's entirely up to them. I'm going on with God. There ain't a person in this world I love any more than my wife. If she don't go, I'm going without her. If you don't go, Brother Rob, I'm going without you. Brother Scott, I love you, buddy, but if you're coming on, you better come on and get with the program. Amen. Right, saints? This is the way we've got to have that determination. We are going on. If mama don't go, if daddy don't go, brothers don't go, we are going on. I'm going with you, Happy Valley, or without you. Oh, my. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go back to question answer 64. I got to read this one to you. We'll go a different direction, Lord willing, in the morning. Page 10, 19, paragraph 108. When man was made in the image of God, then God came down in the image of man to redeem man. That brought man and God together. Heavens and earth hugged and kissed each other. Heavens and earth hugged and kissed each other. Now we know God tells us not to kiss a woman until we're married. So if heavens and earth is kissing, somebody must have got married. God and man's embraced each other as fatherhood and sonship. God and man, not God and Christ. God and man.
Amen.
Has embraced each other as fatherhood and sonship. Why? The prodigal has returned back.
Amen.
To his father.
Amen.
Kill the fatted calf.
Amen.
For my son, which was dead, is alive. My son, which was lost, out of circulation, he's alive. Put the robe on them, preachers. Put shoes on their feet, preachers. Put rings of ownership on their hands, preachers. Tell them who they are. Tell them where they're going. Tell them where they come from. Praise God. Come down to the bottom of that paragraph. Now this Logos that was in him, which was the Spirit of God, the anointing through the sanctifying grace of the blood, brought many sons to God, which is anointed with the same Logos. Friends, the bride don't just have a little anointing on her of the Holy Ghost. The bride don't have, you can find many YouTube videos, Sid Roth and different preachers like that talking about Brother Branham and Moore, how great he was and the great anointing on him. They want that. We want more than that. We don't want just the healings and the miracles and the signs. We want the anointing of the Logos.
Yes.
It'll bring us back to our full image. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. What an awesome thing it will be at that day when we get our new bodies. And we look and we realize we're changed. But then when we start moving into that realm, and all of a sudden we will walk into a consciousness. I've been here before. Y'all have had that happen to you, haven't you? Where you go to do a certain thing or certain thing, and this person's fixing to say this or that, and you think, I know what they're fixing to say. I know what they're fixing to say. Can you imagine when you enter into that consciousness? I've been here before.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. It's in you now. It's in you now if you got the Holy Ghost. But God won't let us fully see it until right to the brink of the crossing. It's birth pains. It's birth pains. See, when a person is dying and they're leaving this world and they're merging from one dimension into another, we don't remember it. None of us remember it when we were born from our mama. Well, we were come by natural birth or cesarean. We don't remember one thing about it, do you? No. Your mama does. If your mama's alive, she remembers it. But you don't remember it. Yet you were the one being born. But your coming was causing your mama so much pain, so much sorrow, crying, ripping and tearing and surgeries and this and that and the other. Why? She was giving birth. Oh my, when children of God are fixing to die and leave this world, how many times do they lay there and, oh God, please help me, oh God, please help me, what's happening? They're being born again into another world. It's a new birth. It's a new birth into another body. Don't you understand what's happening to us now? All the trouble around everywhere, all the anxiety, all the stress, everything that's going on, this world is giving birth. And you're fixing to give birth too. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Oh, children, let's be ready.
Amen.
Let's be ready. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, I pray you would open our understanding, Lord. I can't imagine if a person would come to this and start hearing all these things just at one time. It'd probably change their body at once. It'd probably be so phenomenal, they wouldn't be able to take it. But Lord, as we can stand it and as time will allow, open our hearts, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, to think this in us tonight, this word, hallelujah, when you gave birth to this little white light, and out of that little light, I came. No wonder Paul would say, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. We're not just in the light. We are light. Praise God. Praise God. No wonder when Brother Branham would look at people and see that they were Christians. And in that dimension of vision, he would say, I see you're a Christian. It's light around you.
Amen.
If they were a sinner, or if they were praying for a sinner husband or a sinner son or daughter, he'd say, I see your son's not a Christian. It's dark around him. I see your husband's not saved. It's dark around him. So if their soul was right, they was light. And when they would get healed, it would also turn light. So that's double light, which is double exposure. So what we're waiting for is triple light. When we become triply exposed, spirit, soul, and body, we're out of here.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Our souls is light. When our bodies are healed, it turns light.
if our body is healed and it turns light? What will it be when our body is changed? When our body will turn back into that form of the Logos. Lord, have mercy. God, help us. Help us, Jesus. Please help them not to think I'm crazy, Lord. Help them not to think I'm going nuts. Help them to see this is true, Lord. And the devil will try everything in the world to keep them from understanding and perceiving. Open our hearts, Lord Jesus. Open our hearts, Lord God. Let us see who we are. Let us see, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. Heavenly Father, if there's those that are sick here tonight, I know some that sick couldn't be in church. May the Spirit of God go to them right now where they are, Lord. May it turn light around their bodies. May the darkness, the sickness leave them, Lord. If there's any here tonight that's got darkness over their soul, may that darkness leave. May the Logos, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, come in and quicken that seed word. Lord Jesus, if we could only see it, God help us. Heavens and earth embracing each other. That was a type of our new birth. When we receive the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, the heavens, the Logos, embraces the seed within us. They're reunited. Heaven and earth embraces each other again. Each time a son or daughter of God is born again, the heavenly Logos comes and quickens the seed. And the seed springs to life. Heavens and earth have kissed each other again. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Oh, Father, I'm so glad to know that we've got a body there waiting, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But Lord, I am so grateful that we're in touch with that Logos right here tonight. If we could only get it in our mind, that Logos, that anointing has been right in this place. Anointing a son of God to speak the words of eternal life. That Logos has been anointing sons and daughters of God as they sit here and heard it. And it quickened to their soul. Yeah. Praise God. That Logos is still doing the work of expansion of creation. Glory to God. Atoms are still bursting, as it were. Light is still illuminating. You're the one who's quickening us to see who we are, Father. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Oh, can we raise our hands? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You, friends, you who have been born again. Heavens and earth has kissed each other. That heavenly part of you. Glory to God. Quicken that part that was inside of you by deposit. Amen. Amen. You heard from your theophany. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. Then we are not a pig that was turned into a sheep. We always were a sheep. We was part of that Logos that went out of the very existence of the eternal. And therefore, I want to tell every devil in hell tonight, you will not knock out one elect member of God. Do what you want to do, Satan, with all your kingdom and all your darkness. You will not, no way ever, be able to keep the elect of God from returning back to Father's house. Though prodigal as we may be, whatever more, even with our children, if their names is on that book, it makes no difference how far they have gone. They will come back. Hallelujah. That Logos will lose none. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It would be unbecoming for him to marry one of less than his own kind. So Logos' son marries a Logos bride. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, Heavenly Father. We worship you, Lord God, O great Adonai. I bless your name, Lord. I worship you. Let's worship him, children. Oh, my. If anybody on the earth ought to be able to praise him and love him, it ought to be us. Think of how privileged we are to sit and hear things like we've heard here tonight, children. The majority of Christians around the world never heard of such a thing. God has enabled us. Can you imagine God, this prophet, bringing all these things and holding all these things within himself? Oh, my. It must have been overwhelming to him sometimes. And yet God has allowed us to be able to live in the age when it's been said. Praise God. Amen. You love him.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You love him with all your heart. Look at me. Let me tell you something. Lisha had sent me an article this week where Charisma News is a charismatic Pentecostal magazine. They said, did this man foresee the election and see that Russia would start a war with America? You know who it was? Brother Branham. Pentecostal magazines now saying, did he see a woman president? You realize when they go to seeing it, it's too late. When people begin to see Noah's message manifest in the physical signs, it was too late. Aren't you glad you've already seen it when it was invisible? We believed it before the polls ever said this or that or the other. We believe the word without pictures or scientific proof or whatever the world wants to say. We believe it because we are part of the word. We are part of that logos without a God. If they begin to see it and they begin to recognize that this man done this and this man had a great anointing, this man prophesied that, Lord, children, we better get ready to leave this place.
Amen,
amen, amen. God will make them testify. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Harry, sing something. Let's worship him together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Can you just close your eyes now? As we're fixing to go out of the gallery, and Lord willing, we'll return in the morning. But as we fix to go out and leave, see if somehow on the walls and the works of art, if we can't look down through there and find something that looks like us. A great work of the Creator's hands. If you could be able to chase it back, you'd find it's older than the universe. It's older than the stars. It's older than the moon. And if you trace its source, it goes back into the darkness and the lack of substance and time and atoms. It was in the eternal. No wonder Brother Ben said in future home, you never got the Holy Ghost on any certain day. You're always at it.
Yes.
Oh, glory. Let's worship him together now. I love you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to see, Father. Because why? He first loved me, which enabled me to love him. And
Jesus, I bowed on my knees and I cried, "Holy." Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love Him with all your heart. I dreamed of a city called glory. So sing it together now. When I enter the gates, I cried, "Holy." The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion.
You tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're worthy of our praise, Lord God. We worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Get something in your heart, eh? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Mercy and love.
Yes, Lord.
At the feet.
Amen.
Of Jesus. We cry,
holy, holy. My Jesus.
We cry, holy, holy.
cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
Let's sing it as we go. God bless you. Sing in the morning.
We fall down.
We fall down, Lord.
We'll lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of all mercy and love we found at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy. At the feet of Jesus, the greatness of all mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. His bride will cry, holy, holy. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry. Is a land.